It says, I know who I am because I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only a start. Now I'm chosen, free, forgiven. I have a future, and it is worth the living because I wasn't made to be tending a grave. And last week we talked about, as we opened up this series, Made for More. See, many of us in life, what we don't realize is we have spent time at different grave sites. Many of us, without realizing it, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, we have created grave sites in our life. A grave site, when you go to a grave site, what do you do at a grave site? You go because you're honoring someone who, you know, died, passed away, and hopefully they went to heaven, right? And you go to a gravesite because you're there to give honor. What we do without realizing it, physically and spiritually, is we've allowed things to die in our life. They become graves in our life. And then sometimes we hang out there just a little too long. There's things maybe that were good, and they have been long since gone, and we created a grave site for all the good things, and we stand there and say, man, remember the good old days? Remember those good old days? Remember that good old boy, that good old girl? You remember those good old songs? You remember? Sometimes we create these grave places without realizing it, and we hang out there. The problem with hanging out at the grave site for too long is it doesn't allow you to embrace the moment that we live in. And sometimes what we don't realize is living and hanging around a gravesite too long, you know what happens next? We start to bury things that are alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, have you ever buried something that's alive? Have you ever buried something that's alive? Have you ever buried something, anything that's alive? Spiritually this morning, we've all been given life. Good things. There's been many good experiences that all of us this morning have tasted and been a part of. How many of us have seen there's been some bad things also that we've experienced and been a part of in life? And sometimes what we've gone through, sometimes who we hang around, sometimes the things that were dropped into our life, we take them, and instead of burying them and dealing with them, we keep them alive, but we keep them down below. Buried alive. With that, this morning, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 25. I want you to ask yourself this morning as we get started, have I buried anything alive in me? Is there anything that I have buried alive or try to? God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 23. At last, the man exclaimed, this one, bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh, she will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother, joined to his wife, and the two become one, united into one. And now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And so this morning, as we have taken a gravesite, as we've taken the thought of being buried alive, as we take the song that we first read, we understand in Genesis 1, it says God made us in our image. And being in his image means that he stamped us and he marked us with himself. God stamped us. He put his stamp on our life. He put a stamp. This is my seal. You are amazing. You're awesome. You're built tough. You're designed perfectly. I made you pure, manufactured for greatness. I have put my mark and my stamp, a seal by God on every one of us being made in his image. We saw that as God made man and woman in his image. They felt no shame in their innocence. Just like every one of us, how many of us know that we were born innocent? Many of us, pure hearts and pure minds. No shame. If you walk into a room full of four-year-olds, There's, of course, we know there's always a black sheep, right? There's always one naughty one in the bunch. But if you had to talk to every little heart, there's such a purity in a four-year-old's heart. What happens to the innocence? What happens to that purity? What happens knowing that we're made for more, but yet so many of us settle constantly for less? Made for more, but constantly settling for less. I'm made for more, but why do I settle for less? What has happened to us? Well, real simple. Genesis 3, starting verse 1, says, "The serpent was shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden,' the woman replied, 'but it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it, and if you do, you will die.'" Verse 4, "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it. You will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took it, some of the fruit, she ate it, she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. This morning, it's Mother's Day. And so we're here to honor our moms, and we're here to give thanks to God for all the wonderful, you know, moms who gave birth to us and raised us and all those things. And so this morning, as we break down a couple stories, we see one. This is Eve, the mother of humanity. Eve, the mother of humanity. Now, unfortunately, how many of us know that every story sometimes has different endings, and some are good and some are bad? Eve, the mother of humanity, it didn't end up so good. It wasn't a great start. This was a beginning, and the beginning did not end so well. Why did it not end so well? The mother of humanity, number one, now she was with her husband, and we have no idea why the husband didn't speak up. He decided to just keep taking what his wife was giving to him. But there's a few things here in the story that for moms, for dads, for people, for humanity, God reminds us of things this morning. And the number one is, I don't think that the serpent, the snake, the devil just came to Adam and Eve in this story. I don't think this was the first time. I think they hung around the snake for a little bit. I think they hung around a lot of the animals a little while. And so you know what it did? It made them comfortable with the snake, with his style, with his voice, with the approach. And so there was a comfortability there between Adam and Eve and the snake. Just like many of us in here this morning, we hang around the wrong people. We hang around the wrong situations. And when you hang around people, the wrong crowd, the wrong situations, long enough, something bad will happen. The mother of humanity, we do not know why Adam did not protect his wife and just kill that snake. And there's many, many manly men who said, if I was there, I would have beat that snake to death. But honestly, we don't know because we can't honestly put ourselves there when this happened. Yet, there's many of us men, let's be honest, we've allowed many people in our lives to make bad mistakes just standing by watching. Eve, the mother of humanity, and her husband, number one, they hung around with trouble. They listened. They sat. They became a part of. There was a group. It's friends. And eventually you hang around with somebody. When I was in junior high, I had a friend, good friend named Tyler. And for whatever reason, when we got together, we liked to do five-finger discount. And that means you go, you take it, and you put it in your pockets, and you walk away. Until one night when we got caught and the cops took us home, all that good fun stuff. When I stopped hanging around with my friend Tyler, both of us stopped stealing. You just, sometimes we don't realize, you know, as kids, we do really stupid, immature things. We do. And even as adults, they become even worse because the words that adults use with each other, the things and the conversations that adults have, because we can sit and we can say, oh my gosh, see what those kids are doing? But some of the conversations that adults have really break God's heart. Yes, kids act out. Yes, kids do bad things. But listen to the conversations. If you talk about somebody else, you're breaking God's heart. If you're misjudging somebody else, you're breaking God's heart. It is bad. It is wrong. And sometimes it's unfortunate. But the people we hang around, if you hang around it enough, fortunately, trouble's going to happen. Secondly, Eve, we see she listened. Listened. She was listening. Who was she listening to? She was listening to a snake. She was listening to the devil. What's the devil's purpose? Steal, kill, and destroy. But we also know from the Bible, it says that the devil, he dresses himself up as what? The angel of light. So she had no idea. They had no idea. I don't think they knew that they were going to change humanity from this moment on. But they were listening. They were hanging around, and then they started to listen. Many of us in here, we know that in life, there's different degrees of listening. Some of us, we listen half-heartedly. Sometimes we listen with just a little bit, and then we let a lot of things go. But when you fully start listening to somebody, then you start to believe. They were hanging around the devil. They were listening to the devil. And then they started to believe what the devil was feeding them. Just like many of us in here this morning, before a mistake, before maybe when we were young, there's no difference. The devil hasn't changed the formula. 1 + 1, it still equals 2. It does. So from the beginning to now, we still don't get it. We still don't catch it. The devil is sneaky. He hangs around. He says enough lies. Until we start to listen, until we start to believe. And we know that for Eve, after listening, she believed. And what did she do? She took it and she ate it. Many of us in here this morning, there's lies that every one of us have believed. We believed lies about other people, but we also have believed lies about ourselves. Some of the biggest struggles in humanity, some of the biggest struggles of humanity. Number one, identity. Many people don't understand who God has made us, you, we, to be. Many people, the devil, he struggles. He gets us to struggle with our identity and our image and how we see ourselves and how we view ourselves. To be jealous, to be insecure, to not really like who I am. I don't like who I am. I don't like where I am. I don't like where I go. I don't like what I do. Constantly the devil working 24/7, spewing lies. To where how much of humanity deals with jealousy on a daily basis? How much of humanity deals with insecurity in some shape, form, and fashion on a daily basis? Those didn't come from God. Those didn't come from God. Do you think when God sees you, he says, yeah, I didn't really like how I gave you that. You shouldn't like it either. God sees you and he says, I made you exactly the way that I wanted to make you. And God looks at you and he says, I think you are beautiful, handsome, and perfect. Why are you seeing something different than me? But how many of us still, no matter how many times we know that God loves us, he cares for us, he has a purpose and a plan for us, we still don't look in the mirror and see the same thing that he sees. And a lot of times it's because what? We're hanging around the wrong people. We're listening to the wrong voices. And then eventually we start consuming the junk like Eve did. You know, how many of us have ever heard sharing? You know what it is? It's caring. Did everybody get a piece of gum this morning? Take out your piece of gum for a second. Now we're going to have a little fun gum moment. When I was in junior high, I went to a dentist. And the dentist that I went to at that time, he said, you know, one of the good things you can do, because I had a lot of cavities at one moment in my life, I don't now, but I did then. He said, "Is eat gum after you drink, you know, soda, chew gum. It'll help kind of cleanse your mouth and your teeth." And so how many of us this morning, we chew gum for different reasons? Many of us don't chew gum for the reason that I just gave, is that we're trying to keep our teeth clean, but maybe some do. Many of us chew gum this morning because there's something we're trying to cover up. Man, I got maybe some stanky breath. Have you ever been around somebody and took a piece of gum and passed it over to them because you're trying to get them to cover up their stinky breath? And maybe this morning, maybe some of us, we don't really want to ever admit it. But here's the sad part of the tragic story with the mother and father of humanity. It ends with Eve. She hung around with her husband, the wrong person. She listened, she believed. But you know what she did ultimately? She passed the brokenness and the sin to her husband. And then the husband and her pass it on to their kids who pass through humanity. This morning, I know we give gum because we care. But honestly, we just don't want to smell. Sometimes what we do without realizing spiritually, our words that we're speaking to people, we're doing the same exact thing as passing them a piece of gum. We're not giving them the straight truth because we're just trying to cover up their stink. And sometimes the words that we use, because we're trying to cover up our own stink. We don't really understand that sometimes, no matter how or what our gravesite looks like, sometimes what we try to pass on to other people is just as stinky. All of us this morning have dealt with stinky breath at one point in our life or another. But does one piece of gum cure stinky breath? Sometimes we don't realize that our words, we're just trying to cover up. Button up. Sometimes we don't realize that we're just trying to cover for something in someone else's life. Eve and Adam passed sin onto humanity. I wonder this morning what things we've passed on. If you have kids, if you have friends, if you have coworkers, what things have we passed on to the people who in our life? Adam and Eve, these wonderful two human beings, the mother and father of humanity, they passed on sin. They passed on brokenness, murder, hate, anger. All the things that God never wanted us to experience are the things that he gave to us. Many of us, when we were young, we said to ourselves, "Well, I'm never going to be like my mom. I'm never going to be like my dad." And then what happened? At some point, you got old, started getting wrinkles, and you realize, man, I ended up just like him and her. I'm doing some of the same things. I'm saying some of the same things. No matter how hard I thought I'd try and be better, I'm still doing some of the same things. The mother and father of humanity, they pass their piece of gum onto us. But this morning, the question is, what will you choose to continue to pass on from this moment forward? Not what we've already passed on. Some of us in here, we've already passed on words that have really hurt people. Some of us in here this morning, we've made mistakes that have caused people in our lives to suffer. Some of us in here this morning, we have said and done things that have hurt the people in our direct circle and even people around us. How many of us have ever been rude to a coworker? How many of us have ever been rude to a friend? Because we passed on something that bothered us. We passed on something that really, really bothered us. But the great news is, how many of us know today's a new day? Tomorrow's a new day. What you choose to pass to your kids, what you choose to pass on to every single person in front of you, it's your choice. But understanding that in your choice, there are consequences to bad choices. There are consequences to passing out the wrong things this morning. Adam and Eve made a bad choice. For our next person I want to take a look at, if you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So we first looked at the father and mother of humanity. Now we're going to look at somebody different. So this is a story of a person named Hannah. Ooh. First Samuel. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah, the region of Zuf in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Toha, such good names, son of Zuf and Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives. Trouble. Hannah, Penani. Penani had children, but Hannah did not. And each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at the time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. They left out Ferb. On the days of, verse 4, Elkanah presented his sacrifice. He would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. Although he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Verse 7. Year after year, it was the same. Year after year, it was the same. Penani would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle, and each time Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying? Hannah, Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted? Just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Apparently not. Verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up. She went to pray. And Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer, give me a son, and then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, we will never cut his hair. Skipping 1 Samuel 1, verse 19. The entire family got up early the next morning, and they went to worship the Lord once more. They returned home to Ramah, and Elkanah slept with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. Hannah did not go, and she told her husband, wait, I'm going to wait until the boy is weaned, and then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. So we saw in Eve maybe some things reminding us of things that we need to be careful and mindful of, who we hang around, who we listen to. And then we look at Hannah. Here's a lady who was teased and taunted all the time. None of us in here, we don't like to be taunted. We don't like to be teased. This young lady in the story, and we don't know how old she was, but she was left wanting all the time because she wanted a kid desperately, but she could not have one. No matter how many times her and her husband tried, for whatever reason, she could not have one. And she was made fun of over and over and over and over again. The one thing that she wanted, she couldn't have. So what did she do? She prayed and called out to God desperately. This was a desperate kind of prayer. It was so desperate that the priest thought she was drinking at early in the morning. So he's like, what are you doing here? You look drunk. You sound drunk. She was so desperate in her prayers. She called out to God so drastically with everything that was within her. She prayed. Many of us in here this morning, we know that maybe we ourselves had a praying mom. Maybe we know people who've had praying moms where moms always say, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And here's a story and a perfect example of one where Hannah, who she prayed for this one thing, she prayed. She didn't go and beat up her her husband's other wife, even though she probably should have, right? I mean, how many ladies probably would have took her out a long time ago? But she did something different. I'm not going to fight my battles with my fist or my words towards the people I don't like. I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to wait until he answers. Sometimes we don't realize how powerful prayer is. Prayer, we know. We've heard. We've seen it at times. Yes, I should pray and keep praying, and God's going to answer. This woman in the story, she speaks to us as we see the difference between Eve and Hannah. She was someone who was taunted, made fun of, and didn't get what she wanted in life. So what did she do? She prayed. How many of us seriously and honestly pray? How do we pray for ourselves? How do we pray for our spouses? How do we pray for our kids? How do we pray for our family? How do we pray for the people in our community that God has placed us around every single day? Do we pray? Do we pray? Not just to make it through the day. Do we pray? And she prayed and she said, God, if you give me a son, I will dedicate and give you my son. And something very powerful that she does in this story and text is she says, God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. One of the hardest things to do, I think, as a parent and when young people come into our life that we invest in is not understanding that everything in life is just for a season. For her, she prayed, God answered, God gave her a son. After he was done and he was weaned and after he could feed himself, he was dropped off at the church and left. She got in her car, son, Eli, take good care. Adios. She did what she said she was going to do. She dedicated her son to God, and she gave her son, her very firstborn, the one that she prayed for, the one that she waited for so long. And then she dropped him right back off at church and said, all right, Samuel, you belong to God now. Many of us in here, we pray for something, and then without realizing it happens, and you know what we do? We fail on the promises that we made and vows we made to God. Many of us, I guarantee most of us in here, oh man, God, if you would just heal my body, I promise I'll never do this or I'd never say this again. Next thing you know, we're feeling better, and what do? Many people just start running back into trouble. God, if you can just do this for me. God, if you can just, you know, send me, you know, $1,000. God, if you can just give me this. If you could just take care of this person in my life. God, I'll do this. God, I promise. God, I make this vow to you. But how many of us have failed? How many people said, when I make this amount of money, then I'm going to do this or I'm going to give this? But yet when we get to that point, we fail because we dedicated something to God. And then we decided to take it back. But not for Hannah. Hannah prayed. She said, God, what you give me, I'm going to give back to you. Kind of sounds like tithes and offerings for a second, doesn't it? She prayed. She said, God, what you give me, I will give back to you. God, I make this promise. What you provide for me, I will give right back to you. And she dedicated her son. She held on to him for a short season. One of the things in life, man, that we get screwed up as people, you know, as dads, moms, and friends, sometimes we neglect the people in our life. Sometimes they're just for a season. And how do I make the most of the season that I have with the people who are here? A season could be 80 years. You know, I'm hoping Kim and I lived 150. We'll see how that goes. So God provides long seasons, and sometimes he provides short seasons. But do you make the most out of every season that God brings into your life? Do you make the very most of every single person in life that God brings into our life, that he gives, that he breathes? And then with Hannah, do we do exactly what she did? And do we fulfill the promises that we make? So we saw Eve, the mother of humanity, and her dorky husband who screwed us all up. But then we saw through the change of humanity, we see another lady here. Her name's Hannah. She decided to do it differently. She decided to do it right. I'm going to pray and wait for God. I'm going to pray and wait for the right moment. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to let God act. I'm going to let God move on my behalf. I'm going to pray and allow Him to handle my battles. I'm going to pray and believe that God's going to help me with bills. I pray and believe God's going to heal my body. I'm going to wait for Him because I believe. I'm not going to take what doesn't belong to me. I'm going to wait. God made us for more, but how many of us settle for less? And to this man in this story who should have been knocked out, who should have gave up, but there was something inside of him. There was something that was deposited. In the old days before direct deposit, how many of us remember you would get a check or cash and you would deposit it in the bank? And we love payday, so we can, you know, take it to the bank. We can put it in there. Deposit day was awesome and amazing. Today it's just, you know, direct deposit right in your account. It's there. But here's a man. His name was Buster Douglas, who his mom deposited in him. You were going to beat Goliath. You're going to take down one of the greatest fighters that we have ever seen. She went out publicly and stated, "My son, who I believe in, my son, he will do something that's never happened before. He's going to take down this guy. He will take him down. He will win." And so this morning on Mother's Day, do we ever, as men and women, as adults, understand what are we depositing into people? This man ended up standing up, fighting, and winning. Why? Because one person, yes, it was his mom, but one person said, "I'm going to deposit faith, the will to fight, the will to get back up again." The why. This man had a why, a reason to fight for every single day. This morning we looked at grave sites. We saw them last week, but we saw them again today. And then we also saw a picture of someone who was sitting in a grave alive. And see, one of the reasons we struggle with our why is because of our shadows. I don't know if a kid, you remember the first time you saw a shadow and totally freaked us out. Like, oh my gosh, what is that? Someone's coming for me. Many people in this life realize that there are shadows out there. There's dark things out there. There are men and women who realize there are situations mentally, emotionally, that people fight and have a hard time with. You know, three of them, one of them is the being perfect syndrome. And I have to be perfect. I can't fail. I have to do everything perfectly. And if I try something new and it doesn't look like it's going well, I give up. Because I have the perfect syndrome. I have to be perfect at everything I do. I don't want to look dumb. I don't want to look stupid. So I can't try anything new. I can't go out and fail, because if I fail, I'm going to hurt my perfect syndrome. Many people fight the shadow of a perfect syndrome. Second one that people deal with is the doubter, being a person who's so full of doubt. For whatever reason, life challenges has put doubt into our brains. I can't, I won't, and I never will. Being comfortable is more important than doing what's right. Being comfortable is more important than change. The sad thing is, you know, we see kids and we study kids and we love kids. Kids, you look at them so young and innocent, laughing, giggling, you know, hitting, punching their siblings and just having the day of their life. You know, sometimes we sit back and we watch kids grow up, our kids, other kids, and you see the transformation that kids go through. And no matter sometimes what parents deposit into their kids, the friends and culture, the day that we live in, sometimes outweigh what mom and dad did for a season. Sometimes the things that mom and dad, no matter how good and and Kim and I are pretty good, but no matter sometimes how good we are and you are as a parent or have been a parent to someone, sometimes the world and the culture and the shadows, there's shadows out there. When they get to a young person's heart, it changes. Man, I can't look stupid. I got this perfect syndrome in my head. The doubting person syndrome, where everything, I just doubt everything. I doubt myself. I doubt other people. I don't trust people. I don't trust myself. And the last one is the ego syndrome, where many people, I have achieved enough, and I don't have to do any more. I have. This morning, do you think that God has ever done with any one of us? Doesn't matter what age we are. Doesn't matter what we look like, dress like, sound like. Do you feel, do you know, do you understand? God is never, ever, 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 ever done with us till the day that we die. God has put us on this planet with, you know what? A lot of work to do. For Buster Douglas, there was a man who faced his Goliath, who was beat down, who was on the floor almost the full 10 seconds. But what happened? He got back up. Why did he get up? Because mom said, I can win. Did your mom tell you that you could win? Did your mom deposit inside of you the strength and the courage to go out and face anything? Did your mom put inside of you the words of life? Did mom put inside of you, giving you hope, joy, peace, patience, kindness? Because it is what all of us in here need. We all need a voice. Eve and Adam, who was the wrong voice? It was the devil. And there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices out there. But you know what? Mom's voice can never be replaced. Mom's voice can never be replaced. The power. Guys, don't get all jelly. I'm talking about the moms. You know, it'll be Daddy's Day soon, right? And we can talk about us dads. But today, moms, don't underestimate the power when you take God's word and you put the tree of life and you speak and deposit the seeds of truth into another person's life, into a young person's heart, giving them the courage to face anything, giving them the strength and the power, knowing the truth. Many of us learned at some point our parents were never perfect, you know. How many of us, when we're young, we think our moms and dads are like the best in the whole entire world, you know, until you went to the store, you didn't get that toy you wanted, and then you wanted to hate your parents. But at some point, many of us in here, we got to a point in life where sometimes we see mom and dad's mistakes, and some of us in here, we allow those mistakes to bother us for just a little too long. Some of those watching our parents make mistakes becomes a gravesite. Many of us, without realizing, hating mom, dad, choices they made, became a gravesite. And then unfortunately one day became what? Became our gravesite that we started to hang around because they made that choice and they screwed me all up. The Bible says one day all of us get the privilege to stand before God. And you know who we get the answer for? Ourselves. But how many of us have them all lined out, all the people we blame? Well, this person did this. This person did this. This person did this. This. Do you think God's going to listen to that when you get there? You have to stand on your own. You can't keep making excuses for all the bad things you do. You were given a piece of gum this morning because you understand. Yes, I may have some stinky breath, so let me cover it up. Yes, you may have some stinky breath, so let me give you a piece because you definitely need to cover that up. But it's not in the reason this morning why you had that piece of gum. It's in the understanding. It's what I'm passing on. It's what I'm passing on. It's what I'm passing on. And I think this morning, every one of us in here, we could admit, honestly, we've probably passed some things on that we shouldn't have. So what can I change today? You know, the Bible says, number one, as we get ready to definitely wrap up and get out of here, without vision, people perish. Without, and actually that word there, it means direct revelation. So the word of God. Without the word of God, people will perish and die. Without the word of God, without direct revelation, people will die. So what is God asking me this morning to pass on today? Number one, to pass on his word. To pass on the truth. Secondly, this morning, how many of us love Proverbs 4:23? Guard your heart because it determines the course of your life. And you know what? In life, many of us, what we do, we try to guard ourselves from things and people that bother us. But you know what we're not realizing? We're not facing our shadows. We're just trying to get away from our shadows. Guard your heart because it determines the course of your life does not mean you shut out everything in life that bothers you. People, you know, we're always going to have people who bother us. We're always going to have things that make us mad and upset. We're always going to have, unfortunately, until that day ends, darkness will be around until God calls it quits and it's end. Guarding your heart means maybe I need to take care of my shadows myself. And face my shadows myself. Number three, two things that Jesus said while he was here. He said, I want you to be salt and I want you to be light. So as we walk away this morning, we know it's Mother's Day. We saw the mother of humanity and the father of humanity make a bad choice. We saw Hannah, she made some good choices. We heard about Buster Douglas a little bit this morning. We know that this morning God is asking us as individuals, as humans, as adults, it's really important what I deposit in others and what I pass on. So am I passing on vision? Am I passing on direct revelation? Am I passing on and teaching people, helping to understand to guard their heart and deal with the demons and the shadows that they've allowed to hang around? Helping me, understanding me that God has put me here to be the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It seasons those little lovely devils called French fries. Salt is good on potatoes. Salt seasons. Salt preserves. God has called you to be the salt of the earth. Bringing. Not the flavor that other people tell you you are. But it's bringing the God flavor that he's made you to be. Every one of us have a different thumbprint, different eyeballs. We're all made to be different, unique, and exactly who he's made us to be. You are the salt. Bring the God flavoring that he's made you to be. And then secondly, thirdly, and fourthly, the light of the world. Jesus says, you're light of the world. He said, like a city on a hilltop that can be seen for everybody, for all to see, do good things. We started with the Garden of Eden, where all hell broke loose. It was perfect, beautiful, until all hell broke loose. What does being the light of the world mean? It means that every situation I go into, I make it better. No matter where I am, and no matter what I do, no matter where I am, and no matter what I do, being the salt and the light of the world means I just make it better. That means I stand out. So things that are dark can see the difference with the things that are light. I make it better. No matter if I'm in the desert, no matter if I'm by the sea, the ocean, doesn't matter where I am, being a light, standing out, sticking out, and making everything better. God's made us here. God's put us here. He deposited us into this beautiful place, into a beautiful garden. But the beautiful garden wasn't good enough. And so then he put us in the desert, this desert beautiful place called Hemet. God says, if I placed you here, do we run and hide? No. You make it beautiful. This morning as we close and pray, we ask ourselves, what am I going to pass on? When I leave here, what am I going to pass on? What am I going to give out? What will I do with the rest of the time that I have and the seasons that I have this morning? Let's pray.